Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Thursday. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, on Fox Sports Radio, on FS1. What a pleasure to be here today. Joy Taylor is joining me. We've got breaking news. We'll get to that in about 5 minutes. Stick around. How are you, Joy?
Doing great. We were right about that game last night.
We both were. Yeah, we thought Toronto would win the game. You know, it's been now officially proven that if the Warriors don't have the best player in the world and maybe the 10th best player in the world, they can't beat a really good Toronto team. But I want to start with this. Last night was a 3.5-hour advertisement for the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors. For Kyrie Irving to stay in Boston and for Kevin Durant to stay in Golden State. Steph Curry had an all-time night, 47 points. Little guy, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, almost perfect from the free throw line. 6 of 14 on threes, 45% from the field, being double teamed, and having the ball 43 minutes, only 3 turnovers. It was absolutely magnificent. And even with Steve Kerr as a head coach, even with Draymond Green, Iggy and Boogie Cousins, and even being at home, game wasn't really that competitive. And Kyrie Irving, you want to leave all that talent, Brad Stevens, that arena, that history, go play by yourself in Brooklyn? Oh, that's adorable. Kevin Durant, you want to go to New York, play with Kevin Knox? That's just cute. But Colin, they could play together. So what? Steph Curry last night had Draymond Green, Iggy, Steve Kerr at home. It's not like Steph was out there with a bunch of scrubs. Draymond Green's going to be a Hall of Famer. Steve Kerr's going to be a Hall of Famer as a coach. Game wasn't competitive at home. By the way, Steph Curry could do what he did last night all the time. He could be Westbrook. He could be Harden. But the reason Steph Curry actively recruited Kevin Durant was last night. Because you can drop 47, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, almost no turnovers, 43 minutes, 13 of 14 free throws, hit a bunch of threes, almost 50% from the floor, with a Hall of Fame coach and Draymond and Iggy, and it's not competitive. Spectacular, you the man, loser. By the way, LeBron James last year, that's why I left Cleveland, had a 51-point game in the finals, game one. Do you remember that? It's one of LeBron's greatest games ever. But the memory of it is him screaming at J.R. Smith and losing. You ever notice Michael Jordan's highlights are all from games he won? It's funny how that works. You want to be a winner or do you want to be the man? I want to be a winner. I want to win. I want to have a great owner and a great coach and great teammates. Last night, Steph Curry was unbelievable and it meant nothing. John Wall, Derrick Rose, I don't recruit. Westbrook, my best friend's the ball. Steph's like, get me KD. Get me Boogie. Get me the best players. That game really wasn't competitive last night. It wasn't. You can try to convince yourself, but did you ever really feel that Golden State could make a big stop in that game? No, they didn't have this Klay Thompson. They didn't have Kevin Durant. Both very good defenders. Klay, spectacular defender. That was an advertisement for Kyrie. The grass isn't greener. Go to Brooklyn. Knock yourself out. Be the man and win 32 games. Go ahead, Kevin. Go to New York. It's great for your brand, although I'd argue the better thing for your brand is holding up that finals MVP trophy every year. That is great for your brand. If you're out there seeking some sort of external validation, congratulations. But, after the game, Steph Curry nailed it.
We can play better, obviously, better on the defensive end. But I like the competitiveness that we had. Understanding, like we're missing 50 points pretty much between KD and Klay, so we'll adjust and it's a long series, it's gonna be fun for us.
It is gonna be fun. I have no doubt in my mind that Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, if they play in game four, Golden State will even it up. And I think they'll probably bring back Klay. I doubt they bring back Kevin Durant unless he's perfect, because they could still push him off to 5, 6, and 7, one of those games at Golden State. But that was an advertisement. You go ahead. You go be the man. Score a bunch of points. Get 47 points. I guarantee you, Westbrook and Harden would take Steph Curry's wins any day now in retrospect. Well, there was a moment in last night's game. You know how I am about hecklers at comedy shows and about fans who touch players, ban them for life. I don't go and pay money to watch hecklers at comedy shows or watch obnoxious fans. Last night, Kyle Lowry. Now, I will acknowledge Kyle Lowry is like James Harden without the talent. He's annoying. But he went into the stands and a fan put his hands on him. And this morning people are saying, Kyle Lowry saying, ban him for life. And I agree with the player. Once again, I agree with the player. The only sport professionally in America where there's no barrier is basketball. It's awesome. Hockey's got that glass. Golf's got a rope. Football's got a wall and distance. Baseball's got a lower wall, sometimes less distance. But in basketball, you're right on the floor, and some people can't handle it. By the way, this fan wasn't some dope. He's one of the richest people in the world. He's a part owner of the team, Mark Stevens. Mark Stevens should never, ever be allowed to have a courtside seat again. And frankly, if I was Adam Silver, I'd take him out of the ownership circle. I'd get him out of there, have him bought out. Joe Lacob's got enough money, buy him out, get him out. Folks, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've dealt with a lot of fans, and the biggest jerks are almost always the entitled ones. It's not the poor family who can go to one ticket a year, or the middle-class family that feels lucky to be able to take their family to 3 NBA games. It's the rich, entitled jerks, and this guy's a jerk. He feels it's his right. You don't make that move unless you feel it is your right. I am above the player. I own the player. Get him out of the arena forever. And Adam Silver, strongly consider getting him out of the ownership circle if that's how he treats visiting players. Folks, not everybody can handle access. In college football, for years and years, don't bring alcohol in, even though we know everybody's getting drunk out in the parking lot. Why is that? Because some people can't handle a second beer. We see it all the time in America. Some people can't handle access to guns. It's sad, but it's true. And this rich jerk can't handle access to basketball players and stars. Because, you know, he's an owner. He owns players. I'll push opposing players. Sad, but true. Don't ever touch a player. They're a performer. In the worldview of hecklers, and this is why they're all a little off, they always argue, I have a right to heckle the player. Of course, they always lack the self-awareness that I paid the same money you did for the ticket, and I don't want to have you screaming for 4 hours or bothering the stars. If you go to a Broadway play and heckle, you're banned for life. Why in sports do we tolerate any of this nonsense? Well, it's just Colin Drake. Drake is friends with players. Drake is paid by the Raptors to annoy and poke and laugh and, frankly, cheerlead. Don't connect this to Drake. It's not close. And I, by the way, I didn't like Drake touching the coach of his team. I didn't like that either, but this isn't Drake. This is an aggressive push by an owner. Colin, you're overreacting. No. I am completely consistent on this. Touch a player out of the arena forever. And I don't care if you're worth $9 billion like Mark Stevens as a venture capitalist. Out forever. And I am Adam Silver. I get him out of the ownership group. He's public. He is known. You could take a stand. You could now make people go, oh, wow, you can't do that. It's like parenting. Sometimes, you know, you've heard Bill Belichick in front of the players yells at Brady in front of the players. Oh, hell, he yells at Brady. Greg Popovich yelled, embarrassed Tim Duncan in front of the players to make a point. take an owner, bad behavior. We usually associate with, you know, some schmucky guy had too many beers. Take the owner out. Make a point. This is becoming a habit, an ugly habit, and I have no patience for it whatsoever. Mark Stevens is his name, should never be allowed in an NBA arena again. You'd throw the guy out in the upper deck. You'd throw out the bartender in the second deck. You'd throw out the middle class guy. You'd throw out the poor guy, but you won't throw out the rich guy. Bad, bad look for the NBA. All right, coming up next. Did I make my point firmly there?
Yep, I totally agree.
Sorry if I'm a little intense. This is one of these things, man. I don't get worked up over much. I get worked up over that. Because if that guy was working in a warehouse, you'd throw him out of the arena and have no problem with it. Don't, because he's a venture capitalist, say, well, I mean, you know, he does own. He should be held to a significantly higher standard than the guy that works at a warehouse or a longshoreman, a cop, a fireman, a forklift operator. That guy, after a couple of beers, you're like, yeah, he regrets it. This guy should know better. Plus, he was wearing Warrior socks. Grow up, you're 50. Jesus, loser.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, there's a new story out that Kawhi Leonard, according to a couple of Odd Shark and some of the other websites, is now favored to stay in Toronto by a smidge over the Clippers. I have no insight on this. I have said before, Kawhi Leonard is a unique personality. I have absolutely no insight to where he's going, and I have a lot of NBA contacts. I've also said I don't think it would be crazy to say that Kawhi stays in Toronto and KD stays in Golden State and Jimmy Butler stays put in Philadelphia and Klay Thompson stays in Golden State. Kyrie Irving appears to be the only player I'm pretty sure wants to go to Brooklyn. That's because I've been told that, and I do think he's more erratic and flighty as a guy, and he would leave. Paul George may have very well showed us the light, which is, I'm going to stay in a place that may not be as glamorous, but it guarantees me $40 million more dollars, and I've had injuries, and I'm getting older, and I'm taking that cabbage. For the record, that's exactly what I would tell Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler, and Klay Thompson. Don't give up money. I would never, as an agent, tell a young man who's had injuries, KD has, Kawhi has, Butler has, Klay's hurt now, to surrender money. You don't see NFL stars hopping from city to city. So the truth of the matter is, even though we all think the NBA wants Kevin Durant to leave, remember what the NBA did in collective bargaining. They created it so it's hard for the star to leave. You go to a team, Zion Williamson. When his contract's done in 4 years, he's a restricted free agent, meaning the Pelicans can keep him. You can make him an offer, but they get the last offer. So that means all these guys end up 7 years in their city. And they almost all do because it's the big money. And then they can leave after 7 years. And guys like LeBron and Anthony Davis can get frustrated with ownership and not winning. And they leave. But if they ever do leave, they want to stay with the next team because they can make more guaranteed money. Folks, aren't we all trying in America to get more guaranteed money? If your boss came up today and offered you a 5-year guaranteed contract, 90% of you would say, I'll take it. Unless you're young and have other options, you'd take it. And remember, the NFL, and this is one of the reasons I think the NFL plays better in middle America and actually is much more popular. You are rewarded as an owner, a GM, if you draft really well and get the right quarterback. You got him. You're not going to leave. You got him. You don't see quarterbacks bouncing around city to city. You don't see it. Because in the NFL, Kansas City now for 12 years will be rewarded for getting Patrick Mahomes. And Andrew Luck has been, and the Colts have been rewarded for finding Andrew Luck. And Cleveland and the Jets, Baker and Sam, will be rewarded, hopefully, for the next 10 to 12 years. In the NBA, there's a feeling sometimes if you run a team, own a team, a general manager of a team, we did everything right, and our guy left. And so the NBA created rules. We all think Adam Silver, and I'm guilty of this too, oh, he wants all these guys to move. It's good for the league. No. The people who own these teams complained. We're small markets. Sacramento, Utah, Memphis. We can't get free agents. We got to create a system so our guys will stay. We'll pay them $40 million more extra, but we want them to stay. And so, you know, when I see this story on Kawhi Leonard, I got to tell you, he looks a little worn down, series to series. He missed a year due to an injury, almost an entire year. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility he stays in Canada. Yeah, the taxes are bad. I live in California. It's not like I'm living in Wyoming here. It's expensive here. Taxes are brutal here and getting worse. So Paul George may have shown us the light. Paul George stayed in Oklahoma City, and in the end, $40 million guaranteed, still made the playoffs. Now, he's watching the playoffs at home, but he's probably having a pretty good life. Kawhi Leonard, according to the latest, slight nudge, slight lean to staying with Toronto.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Joy and I both yesterday, we kind of came into the game and show yesterday, and we said, listen, Toronto's going to win game three. I don't know if you did it, but I felt, take me back a day ago, because I didn't want him to play Klay Thompson. I thought it was one of those, just take the loss, get everybody healthy, don't re-aggravate it. And your take was?
I mean, you shouldn't, of course, not play him in game okay. three if he wasn't healthy. But I just didn't think he was going to play. It looked too severe for him to be out there.
Now, Steve Kerr did say he will play Friday. So Klay will play Friday. And Kevin Durant, and I think what they want to do is I think they'll dress Kevin Durant and they'll just kind of watch it. And if things go well, they'll be fine. But I will say this is I'm a big believer in the long play, especially if you're in leadership roles. I criticized Baker Mayfield yesterday. I said, you know, stop trying to win the press conference. Support Duke Johnson, your running back. Don't throw him under a bus. He's a good kid. He's a good player. He wants to play, you know, long play. Pat him on the butt and say, I hope Duke's around forever. Yesterday I said, sit Klay game three. Don't re-aggravate this puppy. This is not the NCAA tournament. You got to beat Golden State four times. By the way, a lot of people bet Michael Jordan's Bulls. Sonics beat him a couple games. Charles Barkley and the Suns beat Michael Jordan's Bulls a couple games. Utah beat him a lot in two finals. Couldn't beat Michael Jordan's Bulls four times in 2 weeks. A lot of people beat Jordan's Bulls. A lot of people beat the Shaq Kobe Lakers. A lot of people beat Showtime Lakers. A lot of people beat Bird McHale. Can you beat him four times? This is not the NCAA tournament. Play the long game. You sit Klay Thompson, and then you come back. 2 days for a hamstring is a lifetime. 2 days for a tender hamstring is the difference between not re-aggravating it and aggravating it. And as I watched last night's game, it was really strange. It didn't have a lot of juice. It felt like it meant everything for Toronto, and it was mostly like a bookmark for Golden State. We'll get back to that. That's what it felt like to me all night. I didn't feel a sense of urgency from the crowd. And I think Steve Kerr summed up, and this is why players love Steve Kerr. I think Steve Kerr summed up why he sat Klay Thompson.
I never would have forgiven myself if I played him tonight and he had gotten hurt. So you live with the decision. You make a wise decision, the wisest one you can, then you live with it and you move forward. So the good thing is Klay has done well the last 2 days. Now he's got another couple of days to heal. Hopefully he'll be out there Friday.
By the way, when you're the champion and you've overcome 2-1 deficits three times, and when you've got confidence, I tell my kids this all the time, there's an inner scoreboard and an outer scoreboard. The inner scoreboard is what you know about yourself. People that worry about the outer scoreboard, what others think of them, are insecure. Golden State has great confidence within itself, with its doctors, with its players. For them to basically set a lineup last night, knowing they were at a massive size disadvantage, at a massive scoring disadvantage, shows you the confidence of a champion. Play the long game. This is what Drew Brees does. This is what Tom Brady does. This is what Russell Wilson does. And I think Russell Wilson's faith is a big component to his confidence, that he doesn't feel like he's doing it alone. He's got the man upstairs, his family helping him. Don't have to win every argument, every Twitter battle. You don't have to win every moment, every game. The Warriors essentially gave up game three at home of the finals, knowing full well we could play guys. Kevin Durant could be out there, but it's like, let's just take a deep breath. We overcome well. We went on the road. We're going to be okay. You could tell 7 minutes into that game, you're like, boy, Steph's going to have to drop 60. I mean, that became very obvious in the first half. Nobody else could hit a shot. You're like, I mean, come on. He's going to have to score 60. He scored 47, and it never felt competitive. You felt like Toronto was in control. They couldn't stop Pascal. They couldn't stop Gasol. They couldn't stop any of their bigs. So that's what confidence does. The inner scoreboard does to people. You don't have to win every moment. You're winning the war, if not being able to win today's battle.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
A lot of people, and this is unfortunate, this is part of my life. It's a burden of being popular, I guess. You think I hate your teams. I don't care. I really don't. If Brady retires from New England, I never talk about him again. LeBron left the Cavs. I don't talk about them. I like individual players. I think Brady's the best quarterback I've ever seen, the best leader. I like Peyton Manning. I like LeBron. You know, there are individuals I talk about. Teams, I couldn't give a rip. I mean, I don't care about teams. I like watching the Warriors. How often have I talked about the Miami Heat since LeBron left? Let's start with zero and go backwards. Okay, so everybody thinks I hate Cleveland, and I hate Baker, and I hate Odell. No, I don't. I don't care. Baker, to me, too much nonsense for a franchise quarterback. I hope he grows out of some of his immaturity because I do think he's a hell of an arm talent. And Odell Beckham Jr., I've talked to him. I think he's great. He said something yesterday, and people are going to see this as a shot at Eli Manning when he talked about his first practice at mandatory camp with Baker Mayfield.
I loved Brett Favre growing up. Baker has a lot of similarities to him. They put the highlights together. It looks, you know, the same. I'm going to have to get adjusted to the speed because he's got an arm. You know, he's throwing that ball hard. So just catching him from the first day, it was like, wow, this is completely different.
And a lot of people are saying, that is a shot at Eli. And I do not believe it's a shot at Eli. Baker Mayfield does have a stronger arm than Eli Manning. In fact, what I've said about Baker Mayfield, the only surprise in the NFL so far, he's as tall as I thought. He's about as athletic as I thought. He's as cocky as I thought. He's as accurate as I thought. He's been exactly what I suspected. This is exactly what I said he would be. I wouldn't draft him as a GM, but he was draftable, just not to me. He's been exactly what I thought. The difference is, had a little more velocity on the football. He's got a little stronger arm. Oklahoma's offense is built for quarterbacks to get rid of the ball fast. Get it to the receivers. He's actually sat in the pocket and thrown some strikes, and I'm like, Baker's got a better arm than I thought. I thought it was good enough, but I didn't think it was I don't think he's had Aaron Rodgers' Cam Newton arm. I don't think he has Matt Stafford's arm, Joe Flacco in his prime arm, but I think he's got a pretty good arm, and it's better than Eli's. Here's the funny thing, though, and this is my thing about, and this will be seen as hate. So that's why when I talk about Baker, I try to put up stats. When I talk about Odell, I try to put up data and stats. And then it's not my fault if my facts get in the way of your emotion. That's not my fault. So the narrative is Odell Beckham is moving from a terrible quarterback to an unbelievable first-ballot Hall of Famer. Right now, Baker and Eli, ain't much difference, bruh. Last year, Baker and Eli against winning teams. Eli had more wins. Eli had a significantly higher completion percentage. Eli had more touchdowns than picks. Baker didn't. And Eli had a significantly better passer rating. And Eli's entering this year with Pat Shurmur, who I know is a good offensive coach. I have no idea if Freddie Kitchens is. I also think the Browns' offensive line isn't in as good a shape this morning as perhaps the Giants is, and I know that won't play to the national narrative, but Giants last 2 years have really upgraded their own line. They really have. So there's this sense, Baker's a star, Eli's a bum. I don't think for the next year it's that different. I think the difference is I trust Pat Shurmur, and Baker does have a better arm. Vegas has the Browns at 9-7. Let's say they win one fewer game than that, 8-8. Vegas has the Giants at 6-10. Let's say they win one more game than that. They're 7-9. I don't think the Giants and the Browns, I'm dead serious here, are that far apart. I think Cleveland has an ascending young quarterback and a lot of hope, but no history of delivering on any of the optimism. I think the Giants have upgraded their offensive line. Without OBJ, we'll have less drama this year and have an offensive coordinator now coaching who is proven to move the chains. Eli had a very good year last year. Did you notice that? His completion percentage, passer rating? Eli had a good year last year. Now, all this said, these are facts. I don't think there's a massive gap Baker and Eli when you connect Kitchens and Shermer to both. And I'm not sure there's a big gap, by the way, if you start looking at, I get a superstar running back in New York, I get good running backs in Cleveland. I get a superstar receiver in Cleveland that can get hurt, I've got really good receivers in New York. So the gap, now, do I think Odell and Baker will be unbelievable for fantasy football? Yes. Because I think, unlike in Atlanta or in New Orleans or in New England, where you don't feel you have to get the ball to the wide receiver to make him like you, I think Cleveland's self-esteem, they will feed Odell the ball 20 times a game if they can. Because Cleveland's got low self-esteem, the Browns do. They want to, Baker, Odell, we love you. We're going to give you a million passes. And I think from a fantasy standpoint, I think Odell's going to have a monster year. I don't necessarily think that's better for the football team when the opponents know you're going to make a point of feeding it to Odell Beckham to make him happy. I do not think that's good for a football team. So I guess my overlying point is I didn't think Odell was calling out Eli, but I don't think right now there's going to be a massive gap this year between Baker MVP and Eli a bum. I just think Baker's ascending. I think Eli has plateaued. And I think Odell Beckham will have better numbers in Cleveland, but I'm still not sure the Giants are going to be terrible this year and the Browns are going to be great. I think Odell might get frustrated by week 8 when the team is 3-5 and struggling on the road against very good teams. And the offensive line's not as good in Cleveland as everybody thinks. All right, there you go. That was fact-based. I'm sorry. Was that hating? By the way, I almost qualified my opinions. I almost went like most radio TV guys. I qualified everything not to hurt any feelings.
I think you might be letting the mentions get to you a little bit, you know. It's okay to talk about the Browns. We're going to talk about the Browns a lot this year. Some of it's going to be positive. Some of it's going to be negative. We give our opinions. That's what we do. All right. I thought it was very accurate.
Thank you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Kendrick Perkins, 15 NBA seasons. You've played with the Big Three in Boston, OKC, the Cavs, the Pelicans. You've played for fascinating teams, and I love bringing you on. I want to start with this. The fan, first of all, it bothers me to no end, and I've said this before, is you have to be held to a higher standard if you are an owner, if you are a general manager. This guy, Mark Stevens, is a part owner, I don't know what percent, right, of the Warriors. He pushes Kyle Lowry. It's a real push. The Warriors have banned him from the rest of the finals. What do you make of this incident?
That's it? Just the rest of the finals?
That's it.
I mean, we get fined for technical fouls. I mean, as players, we get fined for tossing our mouthpiece. We get fined for tossing the ball or whatever the case may be. We get fined for even making gestures at fans. And so you just tell me he just get banned for the rest of the finals? I think that's ridiculous. Like, I think he should be banned for at least a year, and he should be fined $1 million. I'm pretty sure he's worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
I think he's worth $1 billion.
Okay, well, he should be fined $1 million. Like, this is – I mean, like – you know, this is not a zoo. Like, we're not animals. Like, you
thank
know,
you.
We're human beings. So this is uncalled for.
You know what I said, Kendrick? I took a lot of heat for this. I probably the most hate mail I've ever received in my life. The malice in the palace. I took the side of the players, Ron Artest.
Uh-huh.
He was Ron then. I think he was Meta World Peace later.
Right.
And I said, time out. A hockey player is protected by glass. Football and baseball by walls. Golf by rope. I am sitting in an arena as a basketball player, and people can breathe on me. If you don't think my first instinct, if somebody throws stuff at me, is to fight back. It's like the old saying about lions, the flight or fear. You either run or you get into a fight. You never back somebody that's big and strong into a corner.
Right.
And guys are throwing stuff at all the Pacers, and I'm like, yeah, I'd be scared out of my gourd. I'd throw a haymaker at a fan, too. This could have escalated. Like, what if Kyle Lowry is not a veteran? He's a right. second-year player. He's got a little bit of a temper.
Right.
You got yourself a nightmare.
Right, and I'm glad he handled it the right way.
Absolutely.
Applause to, but it's just like, you know, for like celebrities or even like myself, I'm not saying I'm on that type of level, but, you know, mentally you have to prepare yourself for certain things. So I know when I'm going out in the public, it may be some people that may say, hey, Perk, can I get a picture? Or it may be somebody that may say something crazy to me. I'm mentally prepared for this. When you come into a game and you're sitting courtside, you have to be mentally prepared that a guy might dive on you, or, you know, a ball may hit you in the face, or, you know, or whatever the case may be. But, I mean, like, this is unacceptable to the max. And I mean, just like...
By the way, you were critical of Drake. Let's talk about that. You were somebody that didn't love the whole Drake thing in Toronto.
Right. And see, the crazy thing is that, like, you know, it's cool right now because Drake is cool with Draymond. Drake is, they're friends.
Right.
Drake and Kevin Durant are friends. Drake and Stephen Curry are friends. I don't know Drake, so he don't know me. Like, I don't care about him. He don't care about me. He don't pay bills at my house, and I don't pay bills at his house.
So you didn't like his nonsense?
No, I didn't like his nonsense. And first of all, I wasn't even talking to him. I was messing with one of my fellow teammates in Serge Ibaka, and he just butted in, which I don't mind trash talking, but it's a level of respect. And, like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a grown man married with four kids. So I'm not gonna tolerate no disrespect from no man, period, point blank. I don't care who you are, because I'm not gonna disrespect no man anyway.
You know, I think I've never had a guest in the history of my show who I agree with everything on, except you.
Well, I appreciate it, Colin.
I grew up in a fishing village. You fish every day in Houston. Only two snapper, you get fined.
Yeah, you get fined. Game warden on play, or you might get taken to jail.
That's great. Okay, so let me move to this. Steph was great last night, but I'm watching that game, and here's what I'm thinking, Perk. I'm watching that, and I'm thinking, if I'm Steph Curry, and that game's over, I walk over to KD and go, I scored 47. It doesn't mean crap. Because if you don't win games in this league, nobody gives a rip about your stats.
Absolutely.
And KD, you go to New York, and Kyrie, you go to Brooklyn, but I sat and watched that game, and I'm like, this is one of the greatest performances ever. It doesn't mean anything.
It don't. And I said this yesterday. I was like, it was the most meaningless 47 points that I ever seen. I was at the game, and yeah, but he missed last night. I'm gonna tell you what happened with Steph. Not only did he miss KD, he missed Klay Thompson, because now, yeah, you have to put up 47 points, but you're also now Kyle Lowry gets loose, because now you have to guard him. There's no more. I'm going to be able to hide Steph and Clay, you go guard Kyle Lowry. No. Or you, Clay, you go guard somebody. No, Kyle Lowry was able to get loose, and Steph had to defend, which he put up some great numbers last night for his points-wise. But, you know, it was a meaningless 47 points because it had zero impact on the game.
By the way, it almost felt like Golden State said, listen, we're going to give up game three.
Oops.
But we're going to get everybody healthy for four. You don't love that?
No, I don't, because that's, to me, that's disrespecting the Raptors. And I think us as basketball fans and basketball gurus, that we need to respect Toronto Raptors. They are really good. They swept Golden State in the season, and they have a really good team. Now, Golden State haven't proven to nobody that they could beat this team in good fashion.
They played five times. Toronto's won four.
Right.
And then, by the way, the win for Golden State, Toronto had a chance to win.
Exactly. So now you put a lot of pressure. Like, yesterday was a must-win situation for the Raptors. So game four is a must-win situation for Golden State. A must-win. So now you hear that KD's practicing today, right? If he's 60%, he needs to play. Because, I mean, this Toronto Raptors team is really, really good.
Yeah, what I saw last night, Gasol, Pascal, Ibaka. Listen, Golden State likes to play small.
Right.
But the problem is, Siakam runs the court for a big.
Yes.
And Ibaka runs the court for a big.
Absolutely.
Toronto last night got a lot of easy looks. Outside of Steph Curry, Golden State did not get a lot of easy looks. Toronto's length is an issue in this series.
It's an issue, and I said this before game one. I said the unsung heroes that's going to be in this series is not the guard play. It's going to be the big man. If you look at game one, Gasol had a monster game, right? Him and Serge played exceptionally well. The Raptors win the game. You look at game two, Boogie Cousins
and Bogut
flat out outplayed both of them. Golden State get the win. You look at game three yesterday, DeMarcus Cousins was absolutely a no-show. They completely took him out the game yesterday.
And Gasol was great.
And Gasol was great. And Serge had six blocks, impacted the game. Siakam started the game, which was in great fashion. And I mean, Golden State, not only are they missing KD and Klay Thompson, they're missing Looney. And you have to you have to respect this Toronto team. I always have problems pronouncing his name, but it's Masiah
Ujiri. Yeah.
You have to give him a lot of credit for the moves that he made in the offseason. One, he got Kawhi Leonard. Then he got Marc Gasol.
At the trading deadline, by the way, gave up some depth to get Gasol. And by the way, got Kawhi, who many thought's a rental.
Right.
And fired Dwayne Casey, who won Coach of the Year.
But listen, now I'm going to get to that point. I love Dwayne Casey, but let's think about this. Last year, Siakam probably played 10 minutes a game, okay? Under Nick Nurse, Siakam is most improved player of the year.
In the league.
In the league. So you have to give credit to Masiah because he made great moves where everybody was like, wow, hold on, he's wrong for firing Dwayne Casey. But now you look at it, okay, Nick Nurse, I'm rolling with Siakam. And then
change the culture. Kind of. Right. Sometimes the veteran coach is very reluctant to play younger guys.
Right.
Nick Nurse, who's been with the G League, got a bunch of young guys. He put his arms around the young guy.
Nick Nurse has done a lot. To give him credit, he's done a lot. I never seen a coach. Usually in the NBA, you make adjustments at halftime. He made an in-game adjustment in game two, although they lost, to do a boxing one on Stephen Curry. And guess what happened? Toronto had eight to nine straight defensive stops in game two.
Curry didn't score in the fourth.
That's what I'm saying.
After the box and one, he didn't score.
So it worked. It worked. And I'm telling you, and now I went to game one and game two in Toronto, and I done been to five NBA finals, and I never seen nothing like this in my life, the way Toronto was lit. Like, it was literally, I call it was off the chain. Like, I never seen it. Like,
the city.
Those fans was unbelievable. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, I know Kawhi is coming up for free agency and all these speculations of him leaving. But
would you leave?
No, because for the simple fact that you could go to a team that's represented by a city, but this team is represented by a country. So this guy actually has – he can actually make more money. We talk about bigger markets. Toronto is a big market because they're a country. Like, they are surrounded by a whole country. So,
Coach, Kawhi could be the biggest star, the biggest professional athlete in the country.
In the country.
He would not be
the
biggest
city.
Star in Los Angeles.
Exactly. And I mean, it's hard for – I don't see why would he leave. I'm telling you, I don't see why.
Well, we have to have you leave, and we regret it because we love when you come. Kendrick Perkins, good seeing you, Perk.
Well, thanks for having me.